God is good, and he is good all the time. It's a special privilege to witness a commissioning event. And so I was blessed, actually, to see this. And I hope and pray that God will continue to bring men and women into ministry from the Chinese Community Church. Because it's not the pastor who calls. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The church merely recognizes what God has already done. This morning, we are in the season of Advent. This is the second week of Advent. Advent is a very important time on the Christian calendar. It's the beginning of the Christian year. Advent is not January 1st for Christians. Advent starts before Christmas, and there are four Sundays where we remember and we think about Advent. And so every year for a Christian, we have a pilgrimage of faith, an adventure of the Christian message from the beginning, the birth of Jesus Christ, to Easter, where he dies and is risen from the dead, to Pentecost, where the church is empowered and released to do ministry and to reach the lost. Advent is a time of worship as we remember the coming of Jesus. Modern people today enjoy this season with popular cliches, clever marketing schemes, and buying and giving of gifts. And these things are all good. We all love gifts. But I tell you, as you get older in life, the gifts that you wanted under the tree when you were a 5-year-old are not as important as relationships that you have today. I doubt there are many 80-year-olds who have their Christmas tree full of gifts. What's important to them is relationship. Christmas, Advent, is about a relationship that is taking place, the relationship between the living God and his people. In Advent, we find the deepest questions of life are answered. The mystery of God's presence, the incarnation, the fact that Jesus came into the world is a part of Advent. The meaning of our existence. Why do we live? What is our purpose? Are we here to simply be born, eat at McDonald's, and die? We are here to worship God. Our purpose as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is to worship the living God and to introduce others to him. Advent is more important than any materialistic gain that we could get in life. Advent is the story of God's radical intervention into history, where God invades on a salvation mission to save humanity, to save the lost. That is Advent. Advent gives us a message about existence itself. Advent, we see that God has embraced us, that he loves us through Jesus Christ, that he has come, but also he will come again. That's the meaning of Advent. Advent tells us that there's going to be a final victory, and the beginning of it started with the coming of the Christ child. But one day he will come again when all darkness, all pain, and all evil will be eliminated. Friend, one day, the evil that you see in the world, where people take advantage of other people, where rich people take advantage of little people, where people do all kinds of evil, one day that will end. And so we're reminded in Advent of that. The story of Advent is also found in the Chinese Community Church. Do you know that? We just commissioned a woman for ministry. And that woman and Pastor Charles have done ministry to the Chinese community in D.C., reaching out to restaurant workers. Does God love restaurant workers? Does God love university professors? Does God love retired doctors and retired attorneys? Yes, he does. And the message of Advent is that God loves all people. So let us think about that this morning. Today is Second Advent, and I want to reflect a little on some verses from the New Testament that deal with Advent this morning. Luke chapter 2, a beautiful text. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Picture that in your mind. A host of heavenly angels in worship, worshiping God. And Sunday morning in the Chinese community church, as Aaron leads, we are worshiping God with the heavenly angels, praising Jesus, praising God. This morning, I want to talk about the essence of worship that we see portrayed here with the angels and with us singing. The essence of worship. First, worship must be genuine. It must be from the heart. It must be true. It must be in purity like the angels. You just can't come to church and sing a few tunes and that's all. When you come to worship God, it's your entire being. It's in sincerity. It's in truth. You're encountering the living God who created you. Worship must be genuine. This is so important to the church. We see in the Luke text this wonderful picture. Singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Friends, in worship, there is power and purity. When a church comes together to worship the living God, a person can come in off the street and sense the presence of God and sit down, and in a moment, the life of that person can be turned around. In Asia today, in many parts of the world, there are churches of thousands of people pastored by someone that has been a Christian for 3 years, 2 years, 5 years. Many of us have been Christians for decades. God is able to take someone that we would never expect and use them to do great works of ministry because they have responded to God in purity and in truth. There is great power in a church that worships God. And so when we come together as a Christian community, let us worship God, because there's no telling who can sit next to us and can sense God's presence and simply say, "Lord God, I accept you." And you don't know where that person is going to be in 5 years. God does. And God can do such a miracle. But there is another story about worship in the Gospel of Matthew. And it is a shame, but it's so very human. For not all people wanted to worship Jesus in truth during that first Advent. And even today, not all people who come to church come to worship in truth. Some want gifts. Some want blessings from God. Some come to church and have nothing to give. They have no worship to give because they don't know God. They have nothing to give when God wants us to simply give genuine worship to Him. Perhaps they come to church because they want to have immigration. Perhaps they come to church because they want healing. Perhaps they come to church because they want to be rich. Perhaps they come because they want this and that. I will tell you, if that's your reason for coming to church, you are without hope. But if you come to church to worship the living God, God will lead your life and bless you. We don't come to church to get as much as we come to give worship to the living God. We come to worship Him. You remember in the Bible the man named Herod, king of Judea, a tetrarch? Matthew chapter 2, verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child." What child was that? Jesus. "Go search for Jesus for me. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." What did Herod want to do to Jesus? He wanted to kill Jesus. He was not interested in pure worship. He was interested in his own autonomy, his own authority, keeping what he wanted for himself. He wanted to be king. He wanted to keep secure and was afraid of the prophecy that said that the king of Israel would be born. Let's look at worship a little bit. Last week I was going to preach on Psalm 100, and this week I am a little bit. Psalm 100 is a beautiful Hebrew hymn. 150 beautiful songs in the book of Psalms, put to music by the people of God all over the place. The Psalms are actually sung and have been sung throughout history. They are beautiful, they are comforting. We all should read Psalms every day as Christians because they help build joy in our heart. King David wrote them, and throughout the history of the church, Christians have loved them and have sung them. John Calvin and Martin Luther and John Wesley and even Chinese Christian leaders such as Wang Mingdao and Jonathan Sung turned to these words in difficult times. Sometimes when I look at the world that I live in, I am so depressed. I see so much evil. I see so much trouble. I see so many problems, lies, and deceptions in business, in church. The failing of your brothers and sisters. My first wife, who died of cancer many years ago, always said this: the people that will hurt you the most are your brothers and sisters in the church. Is that true? Maybe it's your real brother and sister too that might hurt you. But that is true. That in life we face all kinds of terrible traumas. And church leaders and political leaders and modern Herods and Pilates. But when we read the Psalms, we have peace. The Psalms put to music. I get so frustrated sometimes to the point that I will go online to Google or Firefox, and I will type music, Psalms, and go to video. And it is amazing. Asia, Africa, Europe. How many people sing songs from the Psalms? Someday, if you are in need of an encouragement, you're in need of an encouragement from God, do that. Listen to the Psalms sung by the people of God from communities that you're not even aware of, and you will be blessed. Secondly, worship is physical and expressive. Verse 4 is quite interesting. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Psalm 100 describes worship that is not passive. "Enter his gates with thankfulness and gratitude" describes going up to the temple, taking effort to climb the stairs, taking effort to go into the presence of God. When we come to CCC, it's an effort, isn't it? We leave our home in the suburbs, many of us, and we come. Sometimes we go through traffic and parking, but we have an opportunity to worship God. And so this is a special time of value to us. When you come to church, do you come with an anticipation that you will worship the living God? When you come to church, do you come with the idea, I'm going to sing with the music. I'm going to sing the songs that the musicians create for this Sunday service. And I will rejoice in the Lord. If you're a musician and you prepare music, do you prepare the music with the idea that there are people in this church that need to encounter God? They don't need to see my skill. They need to meet God. So, Lord, I pray for my ability, but I pray most for the people that we can minister to them. Psalm 100 is about physicality. Some people don't like expression in a church. If a lady raises her hand or a man jumps up and down, they say, oh, it's too much. Someone says amen too loud, they get upset. Well, I believe there's a place for quiet in worship. So worship has quiet moments, but it also has moments of expression. We're not robots. God created us not as minds only, but minds and hearts. Minds and hearts. Worship is noisy and has emotional response. Look at this text, verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. You know, this is a funny thing. Yesterday, we babysat my grandchildren, but we were texting my daughter-in-law, and I don't know who puts the sermons online, but somebody put my 4-minute sermon 2 weeks ago online. And so my daughter-in-law let my children, my grandchildren, listen to the 4-minute sermon. And you know what they were doing in the back seat of the car? Amen! Amen! Children, you don't know what can happen to them. It's okay. God doesn't mind. Let me ask you, when you come to CCC, you come with a voice, you come with hands, you come with legs, you come with a heart. Let that be a gift to God when you worship him on Sunday morning. Many years ago, a great Protestant writer and pastor and author, Pastor A.W. Tozer, said this, "The missing jewel in the church is worship." The missing jewel in the church is worship. Jewels are important. How many ladies do we have out there today? A few ladies. I found one thing about ladies from watching my wife. Is it off, you know, you like to put cream on. And Joanna, you should know this now because you're newly married. And one of the things that ladies do when they put their cream on is they take their wedding ring off and they put it on the counter and they put the cream on and they forget the wedding ring. So for almost a year, my wife didn't have a wedding ring. And then she kept asking me, when are you going to get me a new one? You find the old one. But today, she does have one, because yesterday I bought one. But we do that with worship. We come to church and we leave our joy behind. We leave our words behind. We leave our hands behind. It's okay to worship God. Don't neglect the jewel that we have, which is to worship the living God. Fourthly, worship involves the intellect and our own identity in Christ, the mind. Verse 3, know that the Lord is God, and it is he who made us, and we are his. We are the people, the sheep of his pasture. Knowing. Worship is intellectual. It has to do with the mind and the heart. Both. We are complete human beings. We are not robots. We have a mind, but we have a heart. That's so important for Christians to understand. When we become a Christian, we do not commit intellectual suicide. God enlivens our mind to serve him, and our identity becomes connected to him. Lastly, the focus of worship for us is the eternal, good, loving, and faithful Lord. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is great theology. God endures in our life. His words change us. They are faithful. They continue through generations. I think of the Chinese community church here. How many generations since the 1930s? God is faithful. Continue generations, people moving to different churches. God has not forgotten this church. God has a plan for this church. He has a purpose for each and every one of you. Worship him. Worship him. And pray that he will continue to use this church to reach out to this community, Washington, D.C., the Chinese in this city, but the Chinese in the rest of the world also. He is faithful. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you that this morning we have come to understand that worship should be genuine. And it's okay for it to be physical, noisy, emotional, that we use our minds and our hearts. And Lord, we're all different people. So some of us are more quiet, some of us are a little louder, but you accept us for who we are. And Lord, I ask your blessing upon this community. I pray for the leaders. I pray for those making decisions. Give them wisdom. And help this church continue to be a light in the middle of Washington, D.C. for people that do not know you. For it's in Christ's name I pray.
Edification. We know that the Holy